Sunday, and we're still taking a look at love and conscience. The focus right now will be love, politics, and courage. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it takes courage to be on the right side of politics, especially if we're going to let love rule our thinking and our positioning.
Some people gotta lose it all to find out what they really want.
What I want is you.
Some people gotta lose
what
it all.
What I want is you. I can't live
what
it.
I want is you.
Some people gotta lose
what
it
all. What I want is you.
I can't live
what it.
What I want
is you. Some people
gotta lose. All right, welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where we are getting ready to resume a prior discussion of love and politics. I want to ask you something. How many of you truly love our nation? I want you to think about that now. You truly love our nation. What goes on in your heart and what goes on in your mind that really defines for you love for your nation? What thoughts, what feelings, what desirings do you have that indicate to you that you truly love our nation? Now, one of the things that can make that response tricky is the number of responses we can get. Well, I shouldn't say just the number of responses, because even if you have 30 people giving you the same response, that's still 30 responses. We could get a number of different responses depending on attitudes and personalities of people. And I want us to move beyond the rhetoric of loving our nation to the reality of loving our nation. Let's get beyond rhetoric to reality. You love our nation. Of course, if you have people from various different types of faiths, you have people from various religions, that can prompt the answer types, choices that we get. You look at people's relationship to God and the strength of those relationships. The strengths of those relationships are going to vary. And so even within that, we can get different types of responses as to what it is about me that says I do truly love our nation. So let's simplify it and let's focus specifically on Christians. Let's direct the question to anyone and to everyone who says, I am a born-again, spirit-filled imitator of Christ. What is it about your thinking, your feelings, your desirings that say to you, you truly love our nation? You know, if we look through Scripture, there are so many different factors that can come into play that when taken together as a whole can indicate to us that we either do or do not genuinely love our nation. Let's focus on one verse for now. Proverbs 14 and 34, which says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Now, the first thing I want you to focus on is the fact that this verse in each part is including as a direct object a group, a very, very large group. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. And people is being used in much the same way as the word nation is being used here. And not sin is a disgrace to any individual. It is a disgrace to any people. Now, I want to ask you this. When you get ready to go to the polls from one election to the next, whether we're talking local, state, or national elections, from one election to the next, when you go to the polls, how many of you think about this scripture and you have a big, broad smile on your face as you talk about righteousness exalting a nation? And you truly put forth a good faith effort to determine which of the candidates genuinely promotes righteousness. Not just talks about it. Because again, we're moving away from the rhetoric to the reality. Forget about the rhetoric of righteousness. Let's get down to the reality of righteousness. How many of you just automatically say, well, if the candidate or candidate is or the candidates are a member or members of this specific party, then I'm automatically going to assume, I'm automatically going to say that they are righteous. I'm automatically going to say that they're born again unless they say they're not born again. And if they don't say they're not born again, I'm going to say they are. I'm going to say that they will be the candidates most likely to lead this nation down the path of righteousness, unless they say otherwise. You just automatically make that assumption. You just automatically take that position. If you just automatically take that position, you can rest assured you are not expressing a genuine interest in righteousness. Your true interest is party loyalty. And you need to be honest enough to admit that. You need to be honest enough to admit it to yourself. You need to be honest enough to admit it to God. Because God knows it is true, even if you never admit it. Your true interest is party loyalty. Loyalty to the party agenda, as well as to the party name. Righteousness exalts a nation. And how many of you make it a point not to look for, not to truly look for the candidate that will bring us closer to righteousness? You know, it can be very, very difficult, very tricky choosing the candidate that will get us there, especially if you focus more on party than you do God's word. If you focus more on political ideology than you do God's biblical doctrine. Because the truth is, no political party will lead this nation down the path of righteousness. No political organization will lead this nation down the path of righteousness. It doesn't matter whether you like the label Democrat, you like the label Republican, you like the label Green Party or any other independent party. It doesn't matter if you like the label moderate or the label conservative or the label liberal. It doesn't matter if you like the label ultra-conservative or neo. It doesn't matter what label you want to put on it. It is still all man's doctrine. It is man's political ideology. And man's political ideology will never line up with God's biblical doctrine. You can find places here and there where they're singing the same song. But you turn the pages long enough and you'll see that they're singing different songs. It doesn't matter to me which political group you're talking about. I've said this before, I'll say it again, and I'm going to expand what I said in the past to reflect what I said, more of what I said earlier today, just a few minutes ago. No political party will lead the nation down the path of righteousness. No political party is in sync with the word of God. Therefore, no political party is truly in sync with the will of God. And that is true whether you use the label Republican, Democratic, Independent, any number of independents, or you use the labels conservative, moderate, liberal. Righteousness exalts a nation. Isn't it interesting that so many people who purport to be lovers of righteousness, adherents of God's righteousness, emphatically chose the person who, by his own admission, was very, very sexually immoral, and not only groping women, but trying to get women who he knew to be married to have sex with him. He's already had several divorces, and he's still trying to get women who he knows to be married to have sex with him. Because he's rich, he can do anything he wants to do and get away with it. Brags about how he groped women, fondling women's genitals, often against their will. But he could get away with it. Numerous lies told during the campaign. Were these signs of righteousness that would exalt the nation? I think it was so unfortunate that so many of our politicians, including former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, used private servers to handle her email. That was so unwise. It was unwise when she did it. It was unwise when her Republican predecessors did it. It's unfortunate that it only became an issue when it could be proven that a Democratic politician had done it, and it was a non-issue when Republican politicians were doing it. But not wise. Not wise at all. Did we hear tales of Hillary Clinton groping men, trying to get men who she knew to be married to have sex with her? Did we hear about that? What were the lies that Hillary Clinton told during the campaign? During the inauguration, Donald Trump swore that he was going to be a president for all Americans, and that he was going to take care of the people in the inner cities. And he's doing what could be expected. He's making sure that he pushes policies that will make life even more miserable than it already is for people of color, particularly in the inner cities. He encouraged the Russians during the campaign to hack into the Democratic computers. An American encouraging the leaders of a nation that is considered to be one of America's greatest foes to hack into the computers of his fellow Americans. Would that exalt our nation? And on we could go. What I'm saying is, we as people of God need to really start evaluating ourselves. Why is it so important to support the people who will ensure that life is miserable for the poor and for people of color. The poor of all ethnicities, but especially for people of color, and especially the black race. How do you continue to promote the idea that you truly love God when the Bible says very clearly, we cannot love God whom we have not seen, when we don't love our brothers whom we do see? And to the extent that we make sure we push for candidates who will push the policies that we know will be hurtful to people of color and to the poor, we're proving we don't truly love our brothers. We're proving that we are not that good Samaritan who took care of his neighbor whom he did not even know. We're proving that we don't truly love God the way you say you do. You're proving that you don't love God the way you say you do. You're proving that you're being inconsistent. You're proving to be hypocritical. Righteousness exalts a nation. And part of one of our biggest challenges here in America is that we can't get enough from amongst we the people who claim to be followers of Christ, imitators of Christ, lovers of God, to love our fellow man enough, who is in need enough to choose the candidates who we know will push policies that will be designed to help the poor, the needy, the oppressed. So one of the main reasons that, and I say this is one of the main reasons, that we can't get enough leaders who truly value righteousness to lead our nation is because we don't have enough people at the grassroots level who genuinely value righteousness, so that they look for the candidates who will help promote that which is good and right and true and just. God is constantly promoting righteousness and justice. And yet the many millions of those who claim to be his people fight against justice. They look for the people who will fill the courts, who will fight against justice. And that's important to them, that judges be put on the bench who will fight against true justice. And yet they say they're imitators of Christ, imitators of God. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Many lies are still being told. Flip-flops on positions are still super common. Major push to continue to walk all over the poor. Maybe worse than has been done in recent history. When I say recent history, over the last 4 or 5 presidencies. We had President Obama trying hard to help. He was fought every step of the way by the Republicans in the House and Senate. President Clinton, although the Republicans were in control of the House and the Senate at that time as well, I think that one of the advantages, one of the benefits that President Clinton had is he didn't have the racial factor also working against him. And so he was able to get some things accomplished, some of the kinds of policies sent to his desk, policy proposals sent to his desk that he could sign that helped the nation tremendously. As I've said before, President Obama only had the help that he needed in the House and Senate during the first two years of his first term, when the Democrats controlled the House and the Senate, and then they got swept out after that. And it was all about opposition from then on. The Republicans were always opposed to President Obama from day one. And they made that very clear. And so for the last 6 years of his presidency, President Obama was fighting an uphill battle. And so although he helped the poor and the needy, he wasn't able to help the poor and the needy or the middle class nearly as much as he wanted to because of that staunch opposition from the Republicans. Now we have all of these ongoing scandals in the White House with this administration. Is the nation being exalted or is the nation being disgraced? And please don't lie and blame all of this disgrace on the Democrats. Don't blame it on President Obama. Look, Donald Trump is the president. The Republicans are running the House and the Senate. Integrity, ladies and gentlemen. Is the nation being exalted right now or disgraced? We know it's being disgraced. Who's causing the disgrace?